Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
855-839-1210 is the number on X at Rich Zeoli and Rich Zeoli Show on Instagram. I am in New York today. I was supposed to do America's Newsroom. Wasn't bumped, though. Just had to move a schedule around to accommodate, obviously, the United Nations speech. And they asked me to do tomorrow. I can't do tomorrow morning. I'm on major dad duty tomorrow morning, which is a bummer. I hate saying no to Fox. Even though I've been bumped. And Newman Price is working on a new song. Has he delivered yet, by the way, Justin? Has he sent the new song over?
Has not sent the new song over. Did he email you? Because he didn't.
I thought the lyrics were great. I'm waiting for the song.
Yeah, we haven't. If he pops up in chat again today, I'll see what the update is.
That'd be nice. But anyway, I'm filling in for Jimmy Failla, who got really sick yesterday as he started his show. And his producer, Mikey, called me up and said, hey, can you take over for Jimmy? It's nice having a home studio and you can do that stuff. And I said, I would, but I had literally disconnected all the wires to my home studio. My plan yesterday was to go to Philly and do the show from our actual studio at WPHT. I have to put it in Waze and look up the address nowadays. But I was moving the whole home studio around because it was originally built in the basement when we bought our new house. And I'm making changes to it so that I have it's pretty cool, lights and cameras, and also be able to do Fox hits from it and everything else. But in order to do that, I had to move the router, the modem, the whole to do. And when I do the show from home, this is kind of like inside knowledge and how this all works. And just like I'm doing it from New York today, we typically rely on something called a Comrex Access. And it goes over the internet, and it's beautiful broadcast quality. You can't tell the difference. And there's other ways. I mean, we could do the show on Zoom. We could do lots of different things, but we always try to keep it professional here. Like today, Greg Stocker told me that for our big rally in Wildwood on October 10th, our dear leader, program director slash co-host of Kale and Company slash Darth Stocker slash White House preservation historian, is going to have a high-quality broadcast production for the rally on October 10th when I do the show live from the boardwalk, from the pier in North Wildwood. So that's a big deal. Thank you, Greg. But in order to do all that, it's all kinds of wires and cables. I disconnected everything yesterday at around noon and was going to take a shower and then go into Philly and do the show. And then Mikey texted me and said, hey, can you jump on for Jimmy? He's really sick. And I said, yeah, but you got to give me time. I have to reconnect everything. But the thing about it is that I had to go into the wall and fish wires out. And I'm not good at any of that stuff. But I had to do it all. And I didn't take a shower. And that's why yesterday I wasn't on camera, because I was scruffy and smelly and wore a hat and everything like this. So anyway, he's still sick. So I came to New York today to do the radio show, and I am doing my show. So 7 hours of radio today. So you'll be able to hear me straight through tonight all the way up until 10 p.m. WRAZ. So for all your little nonsense about how I don't work Fridays and I don't work ever and all the other things, we're going on hour number 5 right now. All right. So there you go. Just saying. And what, where was I going with all this? Oh, I know. I was going with the idea that the marketplace of ideas allows us to also comment on things in real time. So the YouTube chat, feel free to weigh in if you'd like to by going to our YouTube page, and you can join in and weigh in on everything as well. So there are lots of great comments. And on X, Minnie made the comment about Kamala Harris saying, no, I didn't pick Pete Buttigieg. It's not that I didn't pick him because he's gay. I just didn't pick him because he's gay, which I thought was a very funny tweet. So well done there. But President Trump on Truth Social, the marketplace of ideas, when they kicked him off Twitter, he started his own social media company. Of course, with that kind of cash, that guy can start anything he wants. After getting to know and fully understand the Ukraine-Russia military and economic situation, and after seeing the economic trouble it is causing Russia, I think Ukraine, with the support of the European Union, is in a position to fight and win all of Ukraine back in its original form. With time, patience, and the financial support of Europe, and in particular NATO, the original borders from where the war started is very much an option. Why not? Russia has been fighting aimlessly for 3.5 years, a war that should have taken a real military power less than a week to win. This is not distinguishing Russia. In fact, it is very much making them look like a paper tiger. When the people living in Moscow and all of the great cities, towns, and districts all throughout Russia find out what is really going on with this war, the fact that it's almost impossible for them to get gasoline through the long lines that are being formed, and all of the other things that are taking place in the war economy, where most of their money is being spent on fighting Ukraine, which has great spirit and only getting better, Ukraine would be able to take back their country in its original form, and who knows? Maybe even go further than that. I don't know what that means. Putin and Russia are in big economic trouble, and this is the time for Ukraine to act. In any event, I wish both countries well. We will continue to supply weapons to NATO for NATO to do with them what they want. To do what they want with them. Good luck to all. Donald J. Trump, President of the United States of America. Well, I hope this is a Jedi mind trick here, because I really don't... I don't have the patience for this. I'm sure you don't either. So let's hope it's a Jedi mind trick, because I don't know if this means it. Putin and Russia are in big trouble, and this is the time for Ukraine to act. Ukraine will be able to take back their country in its original form, and who knows, maybe even go further than that. So yeah, let's. What do they say? It's 4D chess or 48D chess, or I guess 47D chess, right? Because he's the 47th president. 45, 47 chess, I guess. I guess. I don't know. I'm guessing. What did you send me, DeSantis? What is this now? What nonsense are they doing on the morning show?
Guy didn't send you anything.
That was Borowski.
Oh, Dan Borowski sent this to me. Oh, Borowski sent it. Oh. Can you load this clip up?
Can do. Give me one
second.
Yeah,
load it up right now.
I don't know what nonsense. Oh, Carrie, I'm sorry. It was Carrie Marie, not Minnie. I'm sorry, Carrie. It's been a long day. I didn't have my glasses on. I have to wear. I need readers now. I hate it. I hate it. But nothing I could do about it. You know. I tried those drops that are supposed to let your eyes not need reading glasses, and that didn't work. I don't know. Can I get LASIK? Does they do LASIK for reading glasses? Is that a thing? Does anybody know? You guys are too young to need glasses. So I used to have perfect vision. I had 20/20 perfect vision my entire life. I'm farsighted, so I can see. I can perfectly read the stuff on the screen, which is 10 feet away from me. It's why when I do the show from home, I don't need to wear my glasses as much because I use the monitor and I push it back. But here, I don't have the ability to do that. It's like when I come in the Philly studio, the same. It's part of the reason why I hate coming to the studio in Philly. I hate it because of Philly, the traffic, the parking, and the fact that I need to wear glasses because I can't see because there's no monitor. You know what I mean? So this airing of my grievances. Yeah, Justin, you don't need glasses, right?
No, I do. I've worn glasses since I was 8.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I've only worn them since I was 8.
But not for reading. I mean, you wear them for in general.
Yeah.
That's different. Yeah. That's different. Okay, that's different than your eyes degenerating and needing them for reading glasses. That's different.
I was about to say, because as soon as you said you're too young to need glasses, I was like, I've worn them.
No, I meant readers. Obviously, there are people that wear glasses as children. Yes, obviously. But you could wear contacts if you wanted to, or you could get LASIK, right?
Yeah, I can get LASIK if my insurance covered it.
Why don't we get Justin a sponsor to give him LASIK, and we can talk about it on the air?
I would not be opposed.
And I'll get LASIK, too. Do they do LASIK for reading glasses? Because I can't stand that. I lose them all the time, and I'm constantly buying new ones. You know what I mean? So I'm just wondering.
For one,
you know? You can do it for like anything that needs correcting, you should be able to get LASIK for.
Yeah? Oh, that's good. Dottie's saying that she's on hold forever. So is somebody on hold? I don't see anyone on hold.
I haven't seen anybody.
No need to call, like Joe said, on hold. Well, Joe from Columbus is banned from calling the show.
Oh, no, she's talking about a thing with, so Suze loves Jeffy's daughter, got an Easy Pass fine, and they're talking about, like, calling in to Easy Pass to deal with that in the YouTube chat.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Nothing to do with us. There's nobody on hold. I can assure you of that.
No, I just banned Joe from Columbus. He's banned because he will use this to lobby for winning caller of the year. And so that's, you know, so. Plus, I feel like picking on him today. Road Warrior's been nice to me the last couple days. So why not pick on Joe in Columbus, don't you think?
Yeah, nice to switch it up every now and again.
Yeah. So can I get LASIK for reading glasses? Nobody's answering me in the YouTube chat. This is frustrating. Kimmy's saying glasses at Costco, in a box for $12. Yeah, I don't want – Kimmy, you're not answering my question. I don't want to wear glasses. That's my whole point. You're missing the point. Sorry, Kimmy. I don't mean to yell at you. I love you, Kimmy. I didn't mean it that way. Don't take it that way. Please, don't take it personally. I just been on the air too long. This is what happens. Your brain starts to erode. I'm telling you, this is hour number 5 is when I start to lose it. The show's going to go off the rails. Thank God we have guests coming up. Thank God Dr. Coates can rein me in. But what the hell is Trump talking about where Ukraine can go even further? That's got to be Jedi mind trick stuff, right? Right? Right, Matt?
I hope so.
Stannis, are you there?
I'm here. I don't know. He was asked a question earlier today, and we have the clip. I'll try to find it. Whether or not he was unhappy with Vladimir Putin, and he said, "I'll let you know in a month." But he looked pretty unhappy when he said that. So I have a feeling that things are not going well with the peace negotiations, and this is probably an attempt to get things back on track, because Putin doesn't want any direct confrontation with the U.S. or even the possibility of it. They'd be overmatched, obviously, and clearly, like, we don't want that because of the potential for a nuclear exchange. But it's cut 7 if you want to hear it.
Yeah, let's definitely hear it. This is from the United Nations General Assembly today in New York. Take a listen.
Any update on your talk to President Putin? And do you still trust him?
I'll let you know in about a month from now, okay?
Tony says, more territory with American support, big F you to Putin. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's going to be that easy, though. So I'm hoping this is just a Jedi mind trick here, but I don't know. I'm assuming this is a way for the president to get Putin to finally come to the table here after he brought him to Alaska and they had good talks. And it seems very much like Putin is not willing to end this war. So the president, my sense of it is by saying to Putin, well, Europe will back Ukraine. We'll just flip the table here and go all in, and then they can do whatever they want. We'll get Putin at the table. Here's the president and whether he would back NATO allies in – this is cut A, right? Yes. In shooting down Russian aircraft. Depends on the circumstances, but you know we're very strong towards NATO. Cut number 8.
Would you back up NATO allies? You said that you thought that they should shoot down Russian aircraft. Would you back them up? Would the United States help them out in some way?
Depends on the circumstance, but, you know, we're very strong toward NATO. NATO stepped up. You know, when they went from 2% to 5%, that was great unity. Trillions of dollars is being pumped in, and they're paying us for the weapons that we send. But that was a big day that nobody thought a thing like that could happen. You had countries that weren't paying 2%, and now they're all paying 5%. That's a lot of money. It's a lot of weapons they're buying, and they're buying them from us. They're buying them from the U.S. You know, the
He had a very strong warning to NATO countries, though. Stop buying Russian oil. This is cut number 4, European nations in general. Stop buying Russian oil. It doesn't make any sense either. They buy Putin's oil and then they turn around and they give money to Ukraine. I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever. I'm glad he's saying this. I wish they would stop. And I'm assuming that this post is what we call 47D chess and let Trump cook. Here's cut 4.
Inexcusably, even NATO countries have not cut off much Russian energy and Russian energy products, which, as you know, I found out about 2 weeks ago, and I wasn't happy. Think of it. They're funding the war against themselves. Who the hell ever heard of that one? In the event that Russia is not ready to make a deal to end the war, then the United States is fully prepared to impose a very strong round of powerful tariffs, which would stop the bloodshed, I believe, very quickly. But for those tariffs to be effective, European nations, all of you are gathered here right now, would have to join us in adopting the exact same measures. I mean, you're much closer to this. We have an ocean in between. You're right there. And Europe has to step it up. They can't be doing what they're doing. They're buying oil and gas from Russia while they're fighting Russia. It's embarrassing to them, and it was very embarrassing to them when I found out about it, I can tell you that.
He also talked about the fact that why is the UN not doing anything? I mean, what is it really all about? I have been asking this. We've been asking this for years. You know, what's the purpose of the UN? What do they do? I mean, in my opinion, the UN does way more bad than good. They don't help end wars. And the president addressed that in the speech to the General Assembly today. This is cut number 5 from earlier this morning. Take a listen.
Likewise, in a period of just 7 months, I have ended 7 unendable wars. They said they were unendable. You're never going to get them solved. Some were going for 31 years. 2 of them, 31, think of it, 31 years. One was 36 years. One was 28 years. I ended 7 wars, and in all cases, they were raging with countless thousands of people being killed. This includes Cambodia and Thailand, Kosovo and Serbia, the Congo and Rwanda, a vicious, violent war that was, Pakistan and India, Israel and Iran, Egypt and Ethiopia, and Armenia and Azerbaijan. It included all of them. No president or prime minister, and for that matter, no other country has ever done anything close to that. And I did it in just 7 months. It's never happened before. There's never been anything like that. Very honored to have done it. It's too bad that I had to do these things instead of the United Nations doing them. And sadly, in all cases, the United Nations did not even try to help in any of them. I ended 7 wars, dealt with the leaders of each and every one of these countries, and never even received a phone call from the United Nations offering to help in finalizing the deal. All I got from the United Nations was an escalator that on the way up stopped right in the middle. If the First Lady wasn't in great shape, she would have fallen. But she's in great shape. We're both in good shape. We both stood. and then a teleprompter that didn't work. These are the two things I got from the United Nations, a bad escalator and a bad teleprompter. Thank you very much.
And what have we really gotten from the United Nations? That's the question. That is the question. And, well, you know, I have long said that I think the UN, with their indoctrination and their anti-Semitism and everything else, and we saw it all, a lot of it play out, too, in terms of their censorship efforts and their attempts to indoctrinate. The UN has not been a positive force. It really hasn't. And the president also doubled down on that by asking the question, you know, what is the purpose of the UN? It had potential. But all they really do is seem to write a strongly worded letter and then never follow that letter up. This is cut six. Take a listen.
I didn't think of it at the time because I was too busy working to save millions of lives. That is the saving and stopping of these wars. But later I realized that the United Nations wasn't there for us. They weren't there. I thought of it really after the fact, not during these negotiations, which were not easy. That being the case, what is the purpose of the United Nations? The UN has such tremendous potential. I've always said it. It has such tremendous, tremendous potential. But it's not even coming close to living up to that potential. For the most part, at least for now, all they seem to do is write a really strongly worded letter and then never follow that letter up. It's empty words, and empty words don't solve war.
Well, what is the purpose? What is the purpose? It's a great question. It really is. All right. Our buddy Bill DiAgostino from the Media Research Center is going to join us in a moment. But can we play the clip from the morning show so I can get annoyed before I have Bill? Go ahead.
I think we should do this for charity.
We should. I mean, sports station can have two bad golfers killing up time in the summer, let's have two good golfers on the talk station.
I want you two to play the round of golf for charity. I will set that up.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I honestly, to be, you know, just completely truthful,
I had to wait until
Nick was wearing shoes so I didn't see the toes.
Oh, man.
The flip-flops are gone. Brand new shoes I spent. Look at this. I'm going to show you this. I dropped $170 on these bad boys yesterday.
Wow.
Wife was not happy about it. But all of you snooty anti-toe people, I'm covered up now. And I've got socks on as well. Are you happy? Does that make everybody
happy? Put a sock on it, Nick.
Rich, are you going to spend your afternoon tweeting about my feet?
How about the fact that he's a grown man and he doesn't wear pants? Can we talk about that? I got to see his man legs. Do I have to see that? Huh? I got to see. Look at that. And then the crotch shot that goes with it. Can we zoom in on the crotch shot of Kale with his leg up in the air and the crotch shot? I'd like to see that. Could we isolate that at some point? Maybe get a picture of that. I'll tweet that. Is that you're a grown man? It's freaking September. All right. They say no white after Labor Day. How about no freaking shorts in the office after Labor Day? Huh? What is this? What is this? This is. How about some pants to go with the shoes, Kale? Huh? And how about Stalker? Do you hear him? Like, ordering everybody around? I want you two to play golf. I mean, how to win friends and influence people, Stalker? I want you two to play golf. He's, like, ordering his employees to play golf. What the hell? What is with that guy? Man, he's taking this Darth Stalker thing really seriously, all right? You will play golf. But I guess if I had to work with a guy who had freaking man toes and hairy man legs exposed all day, I'd lose my mind, too. It's not Greg's fault. Lose my crotch shots on the YouTube. I didn't need to see that. Nobody needed to see see that. Man, we need to zoom in, but I don't want to ever look at it. I don't want to ever see that. There's certain things you can't unsee in life. That's all of them right there. Nick Kale holding up his, because he's wearing like mesh gym shorts. Did you catch that, Justin?
I did.
He's not even wearing like tailored golf shorts. He's wearing something that my son would wear to play like volleyball at camp. So his man junk is right there. when he hoists his leg up over the table to show his new shoes, and his man junk's right there with his legs. His man, like, what is this? What's happening on that morning show since I left? Don't make me go back to mornings, all right? Don't make me, because I have no interest in doing it. None whatsoever. But it feels like it's like the lunatics are running the asylum now on that show. It's happening. We need to isolate on the crotch shot, and then it's going to be, yeah, hashtag no kale crotch shots. The AI Zioli was an interesting touch. That was very good. That was good. Well done. So now I'm anti-man toes, man legs, and man crotch shots, too. I'm anti that, too. All the above. All the above. I want a toe-free, man toe, man leg, man crotch shot-free workplace. And I'm not coming back in studio until that chair is fully cleaned, because I think the man junk was way too close to the chair and the microphone, for that matter, in my opinion. So I'm not coming back to that studio anytime soon. There you go. All right. I'm just saying. All right, we got to get to our buddy Bill DiAgostino. He's going to join us. But first, I want to tell you about Dr. Mike Veneria and the great work he does. Why is he my dentist? Well, as you know, I like to have a good time. I like to smile. I think smiling lights up the room, and it makes you very, very happy. So you deserve a beautiful smile, and you should get one today from Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. He's been my dentist now for many years. Mama's Yoli first discovered him. And speaking of my son, we were at his Park and Rec's game the other day, and the director of the Park and Rec's, I won't say what town, but came over and said he started going to Dr. Mike because of Mama Zioli's recommendation, and he was very happy with the work. So I'm really happy to hear that. Everyone I've sent to Dr. Mike has been thrilled, and there's a reason. For 12 consecutive years, other dentists have called him up, and they've sent their patients to Dr. Mike for the really complicated stuff. That means a lot. It really does. It means a lot to me, to everybody, that he is the best of the best. And there are a lot of these chain dental offices out there. You don't want to go to those. And sometimes the closest dentist is not always the best dentist. I've learned this the hard way. When it comes to medical care, go to the best, not necessarily the closest. That's Dr. Mike. Bridget needed her veneers to be replaced, and he gave her beautiful caps, and her smile has never looked better. And my wife's smile was beautiful before, but now it has never looked better. And Dr. Mike will give you a free dental implant consultation. Implants, complicated stuff, all right? You want the master. That's Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Two locations to serve you, right over the bridge in Cinnaminson, right over the bridge in Woodbury, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Oh!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, busy day today with the president at the UN and with the guilty verdict of Ryan Routh, the would-be assassin of President Trump, Kamala Harris's No Good, Very Bad book tour, and so much more going on. The return of Jimmy Kimmel tonight on ABC Disney China, but not many of the affiliates. So we'll talk about all these things as the show goes on. I want to welcome back to the show as he joins us every week. He's the man keeping an eye on the mainstream legacy media. He's Bill DiAgostino on X at @band_Bill, Media Research Center, and newsbusters.org. Bill, my man, we got an exclusive from you today. I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah, it's about time, right? I mean, you've played enough of my stuff graciously on here before, so I figured, you know, why not tease something new for once?
I agree. By the way, remind, if you don't mind, you are Gen Z or you are millennial? Which one are you?
No, oh, please, oh, how dare you? No, I'm a millennial, unfortunately.
You're a millennial,
I'd kinda
okay.
Rather, I'd kind of rather be Gen Z, although my girlfriend keeps insisting that she's not a Zoomer, even though she technically, very technically, is one.
A Zoomer?
Yeah, sorry, Gen Z.
Is that what they call them? Zoomers?
Like Boomer, so like Boomer, Zoomer? Z,
oh,
Zoomer.
That makes sense. Well, yeah, I mean, they had school on Zoom, and that makes sense, yeah. Actually. We're doing the show on Zoom, so yeah, why not? What about Gen Alpha? I mean, I feel as if that's not fair, Gen Alpha. And they're probably not going to wind up being Alphas, number one, but that is like the coolest freaking name, Gen Alpha.
I know, that's sick. I've gotta have a kid like quickly, because if any of my kids end up being Gen Beta, I'm gonna feel just terrible
right?
for them.
Right? Exactly. Like, yes.
Especially if you're right on the split, right? So you have like the older son who's Gen Alpha and the younger one that's Gen Beta. I mean, that kid's screwed.
I mean, the Beta generation writes itself. It's such a mockery of the greatest generation, and it will probably be very fitting if we keep going down the road we're going down right now. If a lot of these schools, so yeah, you better get working on that, Bill.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'll get right to it.
But I mean, I'm Gen X, and I always thought Gen X was badass because it was an X. But I would trade with Gen Alpha, and I don't know if we can trade, but that's pretty freaking cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm Gen cool. Alpha, baby. I bring all this up, of course, because I have to ask how your generation feels about people in the workplace wearing shorts and flip-flops.
Well, I've gone through most of my life as a pretty terrible spokesperson for my generation. But I personally think it's a vibe. It's certainly
on men,
vibe,
on men, not women, on men. Let's clarify.
It's certainly
this
a vibe, but, it's not a workplace vibe.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
who did
you
saying I, who
that.
Did I just throw shade at in your studio?
My
I
morning, know. Our morning show host, but it was worth it.
Okay.
He dug his own grave on this. So, you know, I'm just pointing out the fact that if all generations are united in saying no man toes, man legs, or man crotch shots at the office, I think that, yeah. I think as a country, we should all unite around this.
Yeah, that's not a work thing. That's not a work thing. Not like man socks either, frankly. Like, for keep that limited, I think. You know, don't be that guy who's like plodding around the office in his socks.
Yeah, well said. I agree. Bill, so the new generation of thought around consumption of media, and this is important as Jimmy Kimmel returns tonight to ABC. I don't think how many people have learned a lot this week about affiliates and syndication. Now, I've known about this being in radio for a big portion of my career, and at one point had dreams of being a syndicated host. But the syndication game has also changed so much in radio, and with the advent of streaming and apps and everything like this, we're all sort of syndicated nowadays anyway, but there are still classic syndication models for radio where the big guys in the business will, Cumulus will have somebody like Sean Hannity on 600 plus stations and Mark Levin on 400 stations. And people may not realize television's the same way, where you have a corporate show and then you've got affiliates, and the affiliates don't necessarily have to carry that programming. I don't think people realize that up until this whole Jimmy Kimmel fiasco.
For sure. Yeah, it kind of feels like it's 2016 again, and everybody in the Democratic Party all at once is learning what a superdelegate is. which that was a great week for me, because I wasn't a Bernie voter. But, you know, I mean, it's interesting. Something that I'm embarrassed not to know, and I told myself I was going to need to look this up before we went live today, and then I forgot to. How many affiliates are there for ABC total? Like, what percentage do you have any idea? Like, what percentage is I that would be such a good stat to have. I feel very incompetent right
now. Matt DeSantis, can you ask ChatGPT or one of the other AI things how many? Oh,
that would be
Justin's
good.
Got it. How many, there Justin? 250. Okay, so Sinclair, they've 30.
In- yeah, I think high 20s, low 30s, and I think Nexstar is like mid to high 30s. So I think we'll say like conservatively, maybe it's 60.
Okay.
Right. And so that's what, about a quarter? A quarter
about
of their
a quarter,
affiliates?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm no math guy, but you know.
That's about a quarter will not be playing Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight. So if you're an advertiser who paid to reach all of the eyeballs that show is supposed to be reaching, you're actually getting only 75% of them, and you're probably mm-hmm. pretty upset with ABC right about now. At least that's the hope, right?
So, how does that even work? I guess they can get their money back, right? They paid for it because this is typically the kind of thing people don't realize with syndication models is there's an airtime thing where you have your network spots and then you have your local spots, and the whole way the partnership works is that the network is providing you free content, so you don't have to pay your own people to be on at 11:30. You're getting a free show, typically. You know, and, I mean, there were models where they paid for it. Like, you used to have to pay for Rush's show, but everybody would have agreed that it was worth paying for. But for the most part, you're getting a free product. You get to sell spots around that popular free product. It doesn't cost you anything to deliver. And the network also gets airtime to sell national spots, which they can charge very high rates for, because they're also guaranteeing the eyeballs in those markets. So everybody wins in this syndication. It's kind of like the symbiotic, those little fish that feed around sharks' mouths, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the big appeal of broadcast network ad time, right, is these syndicates, right? You are or these affiliates. You are reaching so many more households than you would just, like, going to one of the affiliate companies. And if those advertisers now are not getting, which they clearly won't be tonight, right, they're not going to be getting the full amount of viewership that they were promised, that they, like, that's what the, then yeah, I don't know how that works, but if it does mean that they're going to be getting money back, that's probably going to prompt some action from ABC pretty quickly.
I don't know what the action
will be, but I mean, generally cable or broadcast companies are not interested in shelling out money to advertise.
Bill, your connection is breaking up. I don't know if it's I'm in New York. I don't know if it's me or if it's you. I'm not quite sure. But if it happens again, maybe we'll do a quick reconnect. But on that point, though, of that, how does Gen Zoomer or millennials, how are they getting their content? Because there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to tune in tonight, myself included, but I will probably stream his monologue tomorrow, or I'll see clips of it tomorrow. And so the consumption of all this is changing in a big way as well. And these shows are losing money because they've got 200 people on them working on these shows, and you don't have the same everybody sitting in their chairs at 11:35 p.m. anymore to watch this show. So how is the content consumption changing before our eyes right now?
Well, I mean, if you're a Zoomer, Jimmy Kimmel is not really much of a household name for you anyway. And late night comedy shows are not something that most of Gen Z piling on to watch nightly. So in that regard, what I think is going to happen, at least with tonight and for the rest of the week, my guess is there will probably be higher than average viewership tonight, because a bunch of people who either never bothered watching or didn't even know who Jimmy Kimmel was and all tune in tonight just out of curiosity. And that's going to be touted as like vindication for free speech or whatever. And then, of course, the media will not cover the subsequent realization of everybody tonight who's tuning in for the first time saying, oh, you know what? Yeah, I remembered why I don't watch this show. It's because it sucks. Tune in for the rest of the week, and the viewership goes back down.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We're going to try to reconnect with Bill because his connection or my connection or some connection is not working. But well, that's okay. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with our buddy Bill from the Media Research Center, and we'll try to get this going. In the meantime, though, big story of the hour brought to you by Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. We'll be right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, yeah, baby. We got a big guest coming up at 5:30 today. The one and only Jack Carr. That's right, who I'm hosting, of course, for our next Politics and Pints, which is going to be on October 13th. So make sure you you join us for that. We're going to have Bill. We'll reschedule with Bill for tomorrow since we're having some technical issues. I don't know if it's on my end because I'm in New York or his end or it's them. It's on them. All right. Well. Okay. All right. So we'll reschedule. That happens. What are you going to do? No big whoop. I wanted to play this for you, though. This is very important that I think is something that we need to cover here in the course of talking about all the politics of the day. And that's this. So Kamala Harris reacts to President Trump designating Antifa a terror organization. Now, I'm going to play this clip for you, and then I have a thought on this. I have a thought on Kamala Harris's reaction to this, and I'm going to explain to you exactly what I mean by this. So this is cut number 16. This is part of her conversation with Rachel Maddow on MSNBC. Take a listen.
We've also now in an executive order today having we've got the president describing Antifa, the anti-fascist. It's not even really a movement, the anti-fascist tactics of a portion of the protest movement as a domestic terrorist organization. What is your reaction to those things? What do you think the appropriate response is to things like that?
Well, in normal times, we should and could expect that our courts would step in when asked to declare the legality or illegality of what the president is doing. Because, civics 101, we all know, we designed our democracy through three co-equal branches of government, the executive, the legislative, and the courts.
What the, in the God's name answer is, what in the Sam Hill is that? Is she, what? I don't even understand. This is the problem, by the way. This is the problem. This is the problem right here. And you've got now Mikey Sherrill running in New Jersey, who's Kamala Harris all over again. Same thing. Same exact thing. You've got this empty vessel of a candidate who, when it suits her, she's a woman. When you're criticizing her, you're a sexist. So this is the game. This is the game of the left. If I criticize Mikey Sherrill and compare to Kamala Harris, I'm a sexist. If I don't embrace and get up and down and jump for joy that she's a woman, I'm not celebrating. And they play this game constantly all the time. This is the game. She is the East Coast Kamala Harris, as Matt Rooney said yesterday on the show, because she's the Democrat candidate. And she's terrible at this. She's really bad at this. Now, I've seen great, great female candidates in my day. Neither of these two fit the bill. I mean, there's a lot of them out there, but then at the same time, they use the woman card as an excuse for why they don't win. But if you criticize them, you're a sexist. And if you don't vote for them and acknowledge that how historic this is, it's very confusing, but not as confusing as the answer she just gave on Trump designating Antifa as a terrorist organization, because she never answered the question. Still, I mean, this is the problem right now. Still didn't answer the question. And Bill was talking about superdelegates before. 2016, Hillary Clinton comes along, and the superdelegates decide that they're going to anoint her as president of the United States of America, as the Democrat candidate for president of the United States of America. Kamala Harris got anointed the same way. Same exact way. The same way. They said, we bestow upon you now, you are the Democrat nominee. Congratulations. And that's exactly what happened. But you can hear the anger in her voice. She's so angry at everybody. At everybody. The only people who should be angry are the Democrat voters who never got a say in who their nominee was. And maybe didn't choose you in 2020 because they knew you were a bad candidate. And maybe wouldn't have picked you in 2024 because you're a terrible candidate. Just saying, isn't that possible? But I mean, in listening to this babbling and nonsense, and you wonder why. And now here's her supporting Zohran Mamdani after calling him a communist, after calling Trump a communist or whatever she said about Trump moments earlier. And here we go. Cut 14.
As a sort of talent spotter in the Democratic Party, yeah. What do you think of him and his candidacy? And what do you think of mainline Democratic shyness and agitation about the prospect that he's going to win?
Look, as far as I'm concerned, he's the Democratic nominee and he should be supported.
Do you endorse his candidacy?
I support the Democrat in the race, sure. But let me just say this. He's not the only star. I know that, you know, he's in New York, and I know New Yorkers think they're the center of the world, and he's in New York having this interview.
It is the biggest city in the country.
And I love New York, as the saying goes. I really do. But, I mean, there are people like Barbara Drummond in Mobile, Alabama, Helena Moreno in New Orleans. They're all running for mayor, too, and they are stars. So I hope that we don't so over-index on New York City that we lose sight of the stars throughout our country who are right now running for mayor and many other offices, governor and so on. So that's where I am. We got a big tent, and we got a lot of stars.
2026.
We got a big tent, and we got a lot of stars. Okay. Matt, that's a great observation. Kamala, the talent scout, the talent spotter, picked Tim Walz to be her running mate, the Midwestern doofus who turned out to be the absolute worst, worst, worst running mate to an already terrible, terrible candidate. She's got a knack for him, boy. Oh, she's got a knack for him. No doubt about that. She can pick him. She can pick him. And that cackle. You miss that cackle? He's a Democrat nominee, so we're going to support him. Okay, fine. But you see, now you get back to the problem that I've been talking about all week, which is this. Until the Democrat Party distances themselves from the lunatics and the whack jobs and the socialists and the commies, they'll never be a serious political party. And we can't actually sit here and pretend like we can have bipartisanship with a party that embraces socialists, communists, radicals, lunatics, extremists, and all these. We can't. We're kidding ourselves. And that's just a game we do not need to play. It's ridiculous. All right, quick break. Coming right back, Dr. Victoria Coates will join us. Trump's at the UN. He had a lot to say. But what is this whole thing about Ukraine can take back all the land? Is it a chess game? Is he playing chess? We'll be right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.